The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding.
Anyone involved in planning a wedding, we want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. And my name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Oh. Hello. Oh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, hello, Christy Matthews.
Hello.
Hello. What's that from? What is that from?
I don't know. What is that from?
Hello.
Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
Is it?
It is. It is.
Oh, I was just thinking about that movie. We need to introduce it to our
the children.
Boys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I loved that movie. And I loved it because it was shot in the Bay Area. And like there was so many parts of San Francisco. And then there was this one restaurant. I think it was like in San Ramon. I can't remember. Bridges. They shot it at Bridges Restaurant, which is not in San Ramon. But anyway. I digress. It's a good movie.
It is good. There's been a lot of movies that we've introduced to the boys from our, not that that was like in my childhood necessarily. What was I in high school when that came out? But like Goonies and Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes.
And we are excited to show them to the kids. And then the kids think they're lame.
Yes.
Or there's like really kind of outdated, offensive
yeah.
stuff. And you have to be like,
yes.
oh, we don't use that word anymore.
Oh my God. Yes.
But it kind of ruins you know, it's ruining my memories of those movies. Cause I'm watching them now
yeah.
from like, it's not that good. Not Goonies or Adventures in Babysitting. Those are both classics all the way, but you know what I mean?
There's a lot of classic movies from, you know, when we were younger that are like staple. They're amazing. Like 16 Candles, for example, which I showed to Santiago a couple weeks ago because he's almost 14.
Oh, that one's got a lot of stuff.
Dude, like, there's so much bad shit in that movie. Like it's sexist. There's racist stuff in
blatant
there.
Blatant racism. Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
so this episode, which I love the title, Design Tips and Wedding Myths. So this is one of those episodes that's just like kind of like an easy, fun, some good tips in here. And I really love a good myth being debunked.
Yes, you know? A good debunking. Let's all go to the debunking.
Let's go to the debunking
yeah.
tomorrow at yeah. 4:00.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like that.
Right.
Pull the curtain back a little bit.
Right. Let's expose this. So it's literally what pulling the curtain back means. So Liana is really sweet. I enjoyed talking to her. We recorded this episode a really long time ago. It's one of the ones we've had in the vault, tucked away.
And that's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, I like to bring it out and bring it, you know, forward now at this moment in time. Let me read Leona's bio so you all understand who you're going to be listening to. Leona Morlock has been in the wedding industry for 18 years, 20 years if you count her own wedding. Through the years, wedding planning and design have been Leona's passion. She has tried other careers, but weddings have always been in her blood and always drawn her back. I mean, we know how that feels, right? She now works with wedding brands to help style a shoot that expresses both what the brand is and who it is for, which is the modern day couple. Magazines and blogs alike feature Leona's work, and she feels very blessed to be able to do what she loves every day. She is a wedding editorial stylist with over 20 years experience handling all aspects of design and planning shoots and weddings. So I had a great time talking to Leona. You were not with us on this episode. She's adorable. She's sweet. She has a podcast of her own, everybody. So you might want to check that out. It is called The Wedding Stylist Podcast. And now, Christy, I'm very happy and excited for you to listen.
Without further ado.
Ado.
A debunking. Ado.
Here's our episode with Leona Morlock.
Hey, my name is Leona Morlock, and I am with Leona Morlock Designs. I am a wedding stylist and love what I do. I'm located in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
That's where that accent comes from.
I love the accent.
And you have a podcast.
I do. I have a brand new podcast with 13 episodes.
Oh, you're a baby podcaster. What's the name of the podcast?
It is the Wedding Stylist Podcast.
And what's it about?
It's about everything weddings. I have wedding vendors on there, and then I'm going to have some brides on there telling me about their planning experience. So I want it to be for brides and for vendors alike.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, we need to do a crossover then.
Yes, definitely.
We didn't even talk about that, but.
I know.
This has got to be a crossover.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll schedule that. So thank you for joining us and thank you for reaching out. We were super stoked to hear from you. And, you know, it's good to have, I think the subject of this episode is going to be really, really a good one for people to listen to because they're two subjects that everybody's interested in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole wedding, we're calling this wedding myths, but a lot of it has to do with like stereotypes or kind of societal pressure or really old traditions that, you know, Christy and I are all about like throwing traditions on the side, you know, say? Christy says, flipping them on their side, you know, and revamping them or really realizing what's behind them. And I think so many people, I don't think a lot of our listeners do, maybe they do, maybe they originally they set out to maybe follow traditions blindly just because.
I think they have to.
You know, and then realize like, oh, wait a minute, I'm like a feminist. That's not what I want. So, yeah. Or maybe not even a feminist, but maybe just like, yeah, I just don't like the idea of like a garter toss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you work as an editorial stylist. Can you kind of explain to people who wouldn't otherwise know what the hell that means, what that is?
Well, I think I've kind of come up with that name by myself. I self-gave myself a title. So wedding editorial stylist. I love everything about weddings. I love the flowers. I love the textures. I love the linens. I love the centerpieces. I love the brides. I love the dresses. And so I wanted to be able to just play with all that stuff and not have to be tied to only doing weddings. I love planning weddings, but I also love the design part. And so I style a mock wedding where I get a model, I get a dress, I get a veil, I get everything donated from different companies, put it all together, get a professional photographer because I am not taking pictures, but get a professional photographer who comes, takes the pictures, I style it and kind of give direction, tips, and then hopefully we get featured somewhere.
I love that. And it probably helps you in terms of designing and styling your own clients' weddings, right? Because you're probably getting all these ideas and like creative juices flowing.
It does. It does. It gives me the brains to kind of just play with any aspect that I want to. And then, yes, I can bring it into my clients' weddings.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have, like, do you ever show those styled shoots that you've done to clients and say, well, here's an example of, I could do something like this. Do you like this?
I do. Especially with wedding gowns. I love working with couture designers and just from everywhere in the world. And so I love showing my brides those pictures. I always do specify that this is a style shoot. And so they know that it isn't something that they have to recreate every single little bit, mm-hmm. but it is a style shoot. And so they feel comfortable knowing that they can pick and choose from what I'm showing them.
Right, right. Now, you had Haley Page, is that right, on your podcast?
I did. I had Haley, I think, last November. Yes, she was super, super fun.
And she designs wedding gowns.
She does. She is a wedding designer.
She's in a lot of the big stores.
She is. She is one of my favorites. She's one of my favorites.
What makes her dresses, like, in your opinion, why are they one of your faves?
I love, they're romantic and they are, I think they're modern, but yet they have a twist to them. They all are unique and totally different. I think she has her signature style. So I can look at a dress and, oh, that's a Haley dress.
You know it's hers.
Yes.
What's her price point? Is she, like, affordable? I don't know.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Right. She is affordable. And okay. She has two different lines. She has a blush by Haley Page and then Haley Page. So there's two different lines that can make it more affordable.
Oh, good tip. That's awesome. Everybody needs some wedding dress shopping tips. So I can tell by your background and your blast, you're very feminine and you have you like girly stuff.
I do. I am not a tomboy at all.
I've always wanted to, like, I mean, as I get older, I do like more girly stuff, but this is why I don't call myself a wedding designer. Although I think I've designed some freaking awesome weddings. Let me just be the first to toot my own horn.
Sure.
But they are definitely not that style. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're very eclectic and, like, different, edgy. I don't know, but it's not about me. So give us some, like, we had our onboarding call. Clearly we have a very rough outline. We always like to do rough outlines, but we're all about, like, just saying whatever on this podcast. But you did write some design tips that I thought were really great. So can you just start by going over these points and kind of elaborating a bit?
Well, one of the first things I think is to come up with a color palette, your color palette that you're going to stick to. And every decision that you make, bring it back to that color palette. And does it match what your initial thoughts were? And how do you come up with a color palette? Yeah. There's a million different colors.
Yes.
And people love a million different colors. Well, look at your closet. What do you wear? For me, it's black.
Me too.
You can come in my house and my walls are white and everything else is black and white. So you can tell kind of what colors I like. But the colors of your walls, the colors of your furniture, your decor, what does your fiance like? What do your art pieces look like? And just grab colors from there. Do you like light colors? Do you like dark colors? What colors of other weddings are you attracted to? Do you think, oh, that's a, you know, a really pretty shade of pink, of blush, a different shade of white that's more of an off-white than a white, because there are a million different colors of white.
Right. There's different shades, right?
Yes, there is. And so I love having different shades of the same color and not be all matchy-matchy with the same exact, everything has to be this exact blue, everything has to be this exact yellow. No, just kind of in the ballpark, it has to be the same colors, but the shades can vary a lot.
Right. So that's a good tip, because I think a lot of people are like, I don't even know where to start with design. So I feel like that too. Like, what do you naturally gravitate toward? Mm-hmm. You know, I think also a lot of people start with this Pinterest board and just like, oh, I like that. I like that. Oh, that's pretty. What if my wedding could look like that? What if it could look like that? And
things evolve and change over the mm-hmm. course of the 6 months, 9 months, year that they're planning. And it always kind of comes back to what their personal kind of style is, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I got married, wow, 20 years ago. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. Mm. But it makes me feel so old.
Congratulations. Pinterest.
Thank you.
That's Pinterest an accomplishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pinterest definitely wasn't around back then. So I cannot imagine getting married at this day and age where there's so many Pinterest images and so many magazines and so many real, television shows, reality shows. And it's hard to get exactly what you like. And so another second tip is to create a mood board. And your mood board doesn't have to be everything weddingy. It can just be everything that you're attracted to. So I see a lot of plants in your background. So do you, you know, are you a plant person? Put some plants on there. Do you like a cement vase? Do you like a certain dress? It doesn't have to be wedding, but just the overall tone, like you were saying, the things that you're attracted to, that you gravitate towards. And so that can be your big, big picture. And then from there, narrow it down into the different elements of your wedding.
How would you say, like, so this is interesting because Christy and I are about to release this digital course and it's all planning weddings from start to finish.
Yeah.
And we have a lesson on design and style.
Yeah.
And I'm not a formally trained by any means. I know that people went to like fashion school and create mood boards using different software or like a big thing on the wall, like old school. Like, how would you suggest someone listening right now who, you know, doesn't know anything about this, how would you suggest creating a mood board?
Well, Pinterest.
Yes.
The number one thing for somebody that just wants to use what's at their fingertips. And one thing that I love that Pinterest has come out with is, and this is probably a long time ago, but that you can have folders within folders. So you can have like a wedding board, and then create little boards inside of there. So you can have one for your flowers, one for your ceremony, one for your cocktail hour. Another thing, just create a Word document. If you don't have Photoshop or something like that, just a Word document and get some pictures off of Pinterest or off of blogs. I love browsing blogs and just kind of seeing what other people's designs and inspirations are. But you know what? I love old school. Getting a magazine and some scissors mm-hmm. and cutting out a picture and putting it on an old-fashioned board and just going that way.
Yeah. There's those two schools of thought, right? People mm-hmm. still do print things out or handwrite yeah. lists or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said about that process, you know, with your hands, like creating.
Yeah.
In real life, 3D. Yeah. 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 It is fun. It is fun. It's fun yeah. when you're engaged and to start buying I remember buying all the Martha Stewart magazines. Yeah. It wasn't until recently that I actually got rid of, like, I think I had like Martha Stewart's from the early 90s, like in my house. My husband's like, babe, I think it's time to like recycle these. I'm like,
Martha Stewart probably doesn't have those magazines.
Who knows? I'm sure there's some like weird Martha Stewart like stalker fan that has like yeah. everything. I mean, okay. So the next one, you're talking about having a common denominator throughout yes. that appears minimally, but ties the day together. Give us an example.
Yes. I think you should have a recurring element, can be called a motif, throughout your wedding that will tie everything together. So let's start off with your dress. Is there a pattern on your dress that you then use in your invitation? You have a gobo of that pattern. You use it behind your bar. different things like that. You can have your logo that's on your stationery that is your cake, on any kind of signage, just to keep something that is used that you can tell, oh, yes, that's their wedding. Kind of like branding a company or a business. Mm-hmm. Although this is definitely not a company or a business, but it's that same kind of feel. If you had macrame at your ceremony, you could have a backdrop behind your bar. You could have it on the backs of chairs, just something little that people won't necessarily, oh gosh, there it is again, there it is again. Mm-hmm. But they will see it and it'll all just kind of flow.
Yeah, I like that. I remember years ago, one of my clients, she had a gown that I loved and it had black. It was a white dress, but it had black design pattern in it that were like leafy, like vineyard kind of looking. Mm-hmm. And she got married in Napa Valley. And so perfect. I took a picture of it and I sent it to the cake baker, to the company, the business that was did all of her handmade invitations. And so we had on her cake, like it mirrored what her cake was. Amazing. It was black and white. It was freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. And then our one color that we had was red. So we had red florals, you know. And then also the tap, we had beautiful wine bottles as her favors from the winery. And we had the stationer make tags for the wine bottles that hung, that had the same pattern on them. And, you know, it was just, I loved doing that. And I did find linen that were similar. So, and it wasn't like overdone. It was subtle. I think that's the point here, people. Make it subtle. Or maybe you go 1000% all in and it's like wallpaper.
Yeah. Wallpaper your menu.
Just do it. And then the last one here, I think, is really important. It's something that I learned back when I took my wedding planning certification course in 2000. when I was at San Francisco State University, one of the biggest things that my teacher taught us, and you're using it in design and huge, but all in with the wedding planning, you put here, design your wedding with your guests in mind. How will they know what is next? Guests in mind. Just overall, before you touch on the design element, just listening, like, always have your guests in mind in every element of the planning. Think about your guests as well. But
for sure,
you touch on this with regard to design.
I think the day is the bride's, and then the groom's, and then the mother of the bride's. Really, the groom has his rehearsal dinner. So it's the bride's, and then the mother of the bride's, and then the guests. You want your guests to feel so important because they came, and they, you know, they came to celebrate you guys. And so as far as the design element, I like to create an overall feeling for the guests. I want them to feel special and feel pampered. I want them to always be able to get a drink, whether it's alcoholic or not. But, you know, if they're waiting between the ceremony and the reception, make sure that they can have a drink. Make sure that there's a restroom available. Make sure that they're not standing around for copious amount of times without something to eat. If you can take your pictures beforehand, this is off subject, but anything that you can do before the ceremony that will save on time for the guests later, I will go ahead and do that because it wants to be a seamless event for your guests and not something that they're standing around waiting for. In signage, I love signage. You can always kind of explain where they go next. You can have a minimal timeline that shows, okay, this time is when we're going to have dinner. This time is when we're going to cut the cake. This is when we're going to do dinner and dancing. But signage pointing the way to the bathrooms so they don't have to ask. Just different little things like that, attention to detail and thinking about your guests. So if you are coming to the wedding as a guest, what would you like?
Yeah, I think it's so important. I do want to know, I think where you live and where you're planning, it's probably you're working with a lot of brides. Mm-hmm. And I know, and I think we talked about this before, you know, but our listenership is of huge LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of grooms, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of equal distribution, I think, also. So just noting that it's about the groom too, or, mm-hmm. you know, the couple, just because I exactly. want to make sure that we're talking to everybody. And I know you do
exactly.
too. Okay. So great design tips. Now let's move on to these wedding myths, because I think these are fun.
Yes.
Yes. I think it's fun. So wedding myths and how they have really contributed to a lot of the, I'll say the S word here, stress mm-hmm. and anxiety for couples, although we really try to leave the S word out of wedding planning.
Because, yes.
you know,
I mean, we want come it to on, be people. Stress-free.
Stress-free. And I think so many of us, as we're planning our weddings, put that on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's a lot that's put on us by family members, friends, people who just don't always have the best intentions in mind, but specifically mm-hmm. talking about wedding myths. Let's go through these. The first one is great. It's this one. It's your day. Talk about this wedding myth of it's your day.
Well, it is your day. It is all your day. It's the couple's day, but it is both parties of the couple, mm-hmm. not just one and mm-hmm. not just the other. It is both. Now, you may have one party that doesn't really care about the planning aspect, and that's fine, but they may enjoy selecting the music or selecting the bar or selecting the stationery. You know, there's got to be one aspect that each partner enjoys planning. Also, it's your guests. We just talked about that.
Yes.
It's your guest day, because why are you having this big party? For you and for your guests to celebrate. If not, go ahead and elope. Mm. So it's I think it's everybody's day. You're the special person in the day, but I think it's important to remember everybody. Especially if your parents are contributing, yes. or your in-laws are contributing. Now, don't let them add stress with unwanted opinions. And yes, it is your ultimate decision, but I think, you know, definitely give them a percentage of the guest list that they can invite, and let them kind of, one thing that I love to do is give them a task. If the mom is really wanting to be involved, give her a task. The hotel welcome baskets is all you.
That's a good one.
You can plan the hotel welcome baskets. So try to incorporate everybody, that because people want to help. People really do. They all want to be a part of your special day.
Yes. Okay. Here's another one. Everything will be perfect.
Oh, it will. It will be perfect. No, nothing will be perfect. Nothing's perfect in life. So it's not going to be perfect on your wedding day. And you have put so many hours and finances into planning this day. And so you want it to be exactly to the T of what you've planned. But unfortunately, there are going to be things that are even out of your control, with the weather, with your bridal party, things that are out of your control that may go a little wrong. But the thing that I always tell my couples is that your guests never knew. Your guests do not know how something is supposed to go. You're the only person that knows how you wanted it to be. So nothing is going to be exactly perfect. And I know the weddings that you plan, Michelle, are as close to perfect as they can be, but you'll agree that they're not perfect.
I've literally said on this podcast and many times, if I meet with a couple for the first time, if either of them uses the word perfect,
I literally am like, you guys, so happy for you. Best of luck. I don't think we're a good fit.
Yeah.
I just don't subscribe to that. Okay. And then, oh, this is good. You shouldn't pick the first gown or the first vendor that you interview.
I think go for what you like. If you try that first gown on and it just speaks to you and it speaks to everybody that's looking, that can see the joy in your face, go with it. Definitely try on different gowns if you want to, but don't think that just because in the back of your mind, you're always comparing it to the first gown, or you dream about that gown after you've left the store, if you don't purchase it, that you're just settling for it because it was what you tried on first. Go for it. And with vendors, the exact same. You don't have to interview two or three photographers. It's advised to shop around, definitely, and see who is the best fit for you. But if you interview the first photographer and you just love his or her work and you vibe together and, you know, you get on really great, then go with it. Don't interview anyone else. I think you should feel comfortable with whoever you're booking. And if it's the first person, it's the first person.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that I'd like to kind of elaborate on a little bit more. It is interesting because when you and I got married, I also have been married for 19 years. There was like word of mouth. There were the yellow pages. There was here comes the guide. Remember, here
what
comes
are
the
yellow
guide.
Pages?
I know. The phone book. There was here comes the guide. There was, you know, those were the big ones. Those were the big ones, yeah. Right? And I think now there's so much information online. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their website. There's Yelp reviews. There's reviews on the Knot. Yep. There's reviews in Google. There's reviews every which way. There's so much information online. And so what's really nice is that you, as the person planning your wedding, have this opportunity to really pre-qualify.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these, basically, you should be pre-qualifying anybody before you speak to them on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely. If you're vibing on the phone and you've already seen they have good reviews, you've already seen that their price point fits your budget, you've already seen their gallery or whatever, and you have this awesome conversation and it's the first person you speak to, it's all good. You know what I mean? Like, make sure the contract is legit. But like, I think it's a really good one. And we've even had, we talked about this, one bride in particular who reached out to us, who was like having buyer's remorse of her dress because she didn't have that quote moment when she tried it on. She really liked the dress. Like, she's like, oh shit, I look good, you know? But she went home and was like, I didn't cry. I didn't have that thing that everybody talks about. Maybe this isn't the right dress, and was really having a hard time with it. So I think that's such a great and important myth and point that you know, those societal pressures almost, right?
Not everyone has that moment that, you know, not everybody cries. But you had that feeling, but it's your feeling. It's not the same as anybody else's. And that's, again, as we said with the stress, people's added opinions and what we've heard people say. But, you know, people probably didn't have the same feeling that you have. Mm-hmm. And you could say something that would make somebody else feel, oh, maybe it's the wrong one. So, yeah, definitely go with your own gut.
Yeah. I think that's the one part, and we've said that, of the wedding where that's like, yeah, you know what? That is all about me. The wedding dress.
Yes.
Or my suit or my jumper or whatever I've chosen to wear to my wedding. That is about me. Literally.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So bouncing to, you need to have a white gown and be escorted down the aisle by your father.
Yeah, let's throw that out the window. You can have a totally black gown. I have seen beautiful gowns that are red and blush and blue and just any color that you want. And it doesn't have to be white. If you want it to be white, go for it. Mm-hmm. But don't feel that it has to be white or cream or in the off-white. If you are a trendy bride and you want to have something that's colorful, even if it has a little color on it, then go for it. Being escorted is all up to you who you want. You can be escorted by your father and your mother. You can be escorted by, I had one wedding where she was escorted by her stepfather halfway, and then her father took over. You can escort yourself. Mm-hmm. Give yourself away. Mm-hmm. Pull the Meghan Markle where she walked down, entered the chapel by herself. Mm-hmm. And that just gives me chills thinking, you know, you're giving yourself away to that other person. That's just, I think that's special.
Yeah, I love that.
So like we talked about, traditions are traditions for a reason. They're in the past. Yes, you can definitely use them if that's your feel, but don't think that you have to.
I mean, I've even had couples walk in together. Like,
yes,
they just are like, you know what? We're going to walk into this together. You know,
that's really
love
cool.
It. I love it. Which another one is, you can't see each other before the wedding, before the ceremony.
Oh, goodness. That is, I mean, when I got married, I never thought of seeing him before. But I absolutely love the moments before when the couple see each other. It's just so intimate and so special and so private because you're not standing in front of all your friends and family, and you can cry. You can, you know, you can talk to each other. You don't have to listen to what your officiant is saying. You can actually talk to each other and live in the moment of seeing each other for the first time, all gussied up and dressed up and ready for each other. And I think it calms the nerves so much. Because that big moment is what you're waiting for. And after you've had that moment together, then it's just the rest of the day. It's just the rest of the day in front of people. And you know, your ceremony is just so much, so different, I think, when you've seen each other before. Now, if you want to wait till the ceremony, that's totally fine. But I think if you do see each other before, when you see each other for the first time during the ceremony, it still is special. It's still that first look of seeing each other then and there, mm-hmm. in front of everybody. So it's still just as special.
Yeah. Do you, boo? You know, mm-hmm. with all of this. I don't know if this is a myth, but I feel like this is a lot of people's beliefs, especially when they're on a budget. I understand. But hiring family or maybe having family do a professional's job is just as good or as same as hiring a professional.
Yes. There are a lot of things that can go wrong if you're just asking family for the sake of asking family. If it is not within your budget to hire the professional that you want to have, and you use your aunt that is qualified and has made a cake before, not for the first time, then yeah, definitely have that family member. But what I would say is have somebody that is overall in charge of everything. And, you know, if your uncle volunteers to do the video for the ceremony, but you do have it in your budget to hire a professional, don't think that you're going to hurt his feelings over you having what you would like. Because at the end of the day, you get what you pay for. And you really do. As a wedding planner, it's hard to work with family members and friends because they get their feelings hurt a lot. And so if I say to Aunt Jane, no, the bride really wanted the centerpiece this way. And she says, no, but I like it this way. And I said, well, the bride really wants it this way. She can feel like I'm telling her what to do versus helping her with what the bride's vision initially was and still is. So I think if you are having family members or friends help, you need to set down the ground rules and let everybody know who is in charge, and not that they're the boss, but that they're the boss because they know exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm. All right. One more here. Your guests can't wear white or black.
I love black.
I do too.
Obviously, I've said that before. But yes, but I think it's so chic and so classic. And so I don't see a problem with wearing black at all. I know it used to be thought of as, oh my gosh, are you going to a funeral? Can't wear that to a wedding. But it is, I mean, it's a black tie event. Then wear your black dress. And white, I think, for sure, if it's like during the day or a summer cocktail kind of event, definitely wear your white flowy dress. I think that's two rules that are outdated, and definitely do not wear a white prom dress that looks like you could be the bride.
I think that's the thing. Every once in a while at a wedding, I'll see a woman in a white dress and I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's a dress that's, you know, I'm like, but then again, I've seen bridesmaids in white and I freaking love it. Like, yes. But I am a sucker for someone who does not wear white on their wedding day. I love when especially in 2019, because last year barely anything happened, but I had quite a few clients who would have like that marigold yellow on the bottom, a bright pink sash in the like. I love color on a wedding day on the couple. Very good. Very good. Well, I think this is all like fun stuff to talk about. It's kind of fun to talk about things like these that are so like they're kind of light topics, but they're also things that people think about a lot.
They really are. They, you know, they're like you said, they're light and they're kind of common sense when you think about it, but when you're a bride or a groom, a lot of times you're not thinking common sense.
You're not. And you're hearing some of these things. It's in your ear from your family, your friends, especially older family members like parents or grandparents or aunties or uncles. Like, oh, well, you are going to have a 5-tier, you know, white wedding cake, aren't you, dear? You know, you will have a floor length, you know, gown that's, you're covering your shoulder, you know, like depending on where you live.
Your cousin Jeannie had one.
Your cousin Jeannie, I had one, you know? So it's so interesting how all that comes out when a wedding is happening. This is what I say about opinions. They're like assholes. Everybody has one.
Everyone has one. Yep.
Although my husband the other day was like, that's not true, Michelle, because some people have several. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah. Well, very good. So Leona, how can people find you if they're interested in looking for you?
Well, everything is my name, Leona Morlock, and that's M-O-R-E-L-O-C-K. It's a good East Tennessee name, but that's my website, leonamorlock.com, and then my handle on Instagram and Facebook is my name.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking about these design tips and wedding myths. It was fun.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
The
Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.